We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pirates are in first place. They are. It's a fact. I don't care by how many games or half games, and I don't care who they beat last night, how they beat them or anything else. I care that I woke up and they're in first place. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Are you of the same mind?
Yeah, I think we asked maybe last Monday or Tuesday, would they even get one game over 500 again?
That's right. And then we asked five, would they get five games over?
And they're all at five now, right?
Yes. All of us quickly said no. And yet we still want to complain about winning. Like I said, if the Pirates have reached that place, that's Penguin Steeler territory, where even the wins aren't good enough. For good reason sometimes. But man, if the Pirates are there already, what a wonderful place to be. And what a wonderful man we have on the line, the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real life magic for guests. It's Dr. Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. He covers the Pirates. Jason, that game last night was extremely frustrating, but to my way of thinking, man, once you chalk up a W, I agree with Hedges, you're going to have to win those games if you want to get where you want to go.
Absolutely, Joe. Absolutely. And last night was one of the uglier games I've covered on this beat. It really was. Nobody could throw a strike. Pirates pitchers kept hitting people, all kinds of plays that you could go back and watch the tape, and you're wondering, why did the A's right fielder throw to third base and not go after the out at home? It was a go-ahead run. Like, I can't wrap my mind around it, but normally in those situations, or the past couple years in those situations, the Pirates have seemingly found ways to lose that game. They've found ways to try too hard, to try to do too much, to not be patient enough to take walks. I think Exhibit A was probably Andrew McCutchen, where he's three hits away from 2,000 for his career. Overswing. Kutch didn't do it. And so they don't all have to be Picassos. They don't all have to be Mozarts if you're Bill Cowher. But I'm glad they figured it out last night and didn't screw it up.
Let's talk about the bullpen last night. How do you think Shelty managed it? Did he have other options? Did he manage a good game from the bullpen perspective?
I actually liked it, Joe. And I liked it. I mean, you have to give David Bednar the day off. Colin Holt will fill in. I'm completely fine there. Zastrzyzny needs to pitch, and I think what they probably tried to do is, you know, get some guys a day and make sure they're fresh for the rest of the series. You hope Zastrzyzny can get through a not-so-great Athletics lineup. He's had some troubles of late, and I don't know what happens there, but I didn't have any issue with the move, and now you can come back tonight, and you have Keller on the mound. You have Bednar fresh. Johan Ramirez, as Shelton said, has been in crinkulent. Quite impressive there. Does is fresh as well. Dari Moretta, another one. So you basically preserved your biggest weapons in the bullpen while still managing to win a game. I didn't have any issues with what he did. You know, Holderman's been kind of weird. He's either been like completely dominant or a little bit leaky. There hasn't been much in between, but I don't have any issue giving him the save chance.
Well, let's get to the important stuff. Did you know immediately what was happening when? And did you ask the question, by the way, when Shelty dropped the increnculant the other day?
I didn't ask the question. That was Andrew Destin, our wonderful colleague.
He was destined for greatness on that one. And did you know what was happening?
No, I did not. I did not. Now, I know that Shelton really likes you guys and likes the back and forth, but I didn't have any heads up that he was going to drop an increnculant on you.
Did you know what word he had said, or were you like taking notes and you said, what? What did he just, how did that all go down
for you?
No.
I knew exactly when he said it,
yeah,
what he was doing and what he was going for. And he mispronounced it.
I think you guys talked about that, right? Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that today as well. I'm going to have to correct him on that. Although we were talking in here, myself and Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, about whether this could be the first malleable word in history where it can have many different meanings and many different pronunciations. What's your working definition in your head of increnculent? Do you know what it means, Jason?
Yeah, so I was talking about this with my wife a little bit ago, and she's like, what does increnculent mean? And I was like, I think it's sort of meant to mean incredible, extraordinary, like some hybrid
of
that.
Yes, exactly.
Is there a root in incredulous, though, Joe? Like, is that any part of it?
Sure.
Is that where you're getting the incra?
The incra is from, it's a combination of incredible and excellent, increnculent. But certainly so amazing that one would be incredulous at the mere sight of it. Yes, I think incredulous fits in there as well.
I like it. I mean, I'm on team increnculent, Joe.
So
I really
am. Have you heard about the boycott?
I have. Crowley's wrong.
Crowley's
as he is
boycott.
About most things.
Yeah.
you know, I think it's a waste of time and energy, frankly. I am on team increnculent, and however I can help, please let me know.
You could help by putting it in your story, but I guess Andrew Destin did that day, and I don't know. Maybe I'll retire the word, or maybe I'll pursue it. It's amazing that the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, after sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals, clearly had increnculent on his mind and was going to say it no matter what at that news conference.
It is incredible.
It's increnculent, actually. Yeah.
It's increnculent. You know what, though? In all seriousness, I will throw this out there as an argument with that.
Yeah.
This team is so darn fun when it wins. It really is. Like, May was depressing and stupid and frustrating for a lot of people, most notably the Pirates. June has been a lot better. April was terrific. I think this team is – this ties into what you were saying at the top of the segment. I mean, they're in first place. They're winning games. They're interesting. They're exciting. They're fun. This sort of stuff happens routinely whenever they're actually winning games.
I'll tell you who I'm having fun watching. Maybe – let me think about – let me not think about this. I'm not going to edit it. Jiwon Bae is one of the most enjoyable players to watch that I've seen in a long time. He is a phenomenal center fielder with no regard for his body out there. That's actually become part of analytics in later years. Oh, you never want to run into a fence. Why is that worth it? To catch the blanking ball. That's why you want to run into a fence. And he's not afraid to do it. He's phenomenal out there. He is.
He really is. And it's kind of changed the calculus with how they have to use their outfielders. Jack Sawinski has struggled left on left. Jiwon Bae has been very good in that situation. Very good overall. I mean, he's their best defensive outfielder. I don't think I'm breaking any news there. You need to get him in there more. And I mean, frankly, Joe, he spent all of May hitting. I think he hit 304 in the month, best on the team. You know, they've calmed him down on the bases. That was the only reason he's out of the lineup. And his swings, you saw Bae, he hit that walk-off in Boston. And I think it was a little bit detrimental to him, where he thought like there was going to be this power. Forget it, dude. Just put the ball on the ground and leg it out. And no, I sound like Lou Brown in Major League, but a little bit of it is true. He's so darn fast. Just make contact. And Sheldy talked about that. I think it was after Saturday's game that they sort of got him to dial back the defense, because I agree with you. It's been spectacular in center field. Just don't make stupid decisions on the bases and don't swing out of your shoes at the plate. Just put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for people who don't believe that defense and offense can be weighed equally, I think he's literally won them a couple of games lately with ridiculous catches that maybe, I don't know, 10% of the guys in Major League Baseball make, maybe less. But speaking of that, Key Brian Hayes, we've had that conversation. How much do you weigh his defense? How valuable is he? Well, now he's starting to hit. What has been the key? Has he changed his approach?
Yeah, so he reintegrated a toe tap, something he did a little bit earlier. And I mean, it's not changing his swing or approach. Like, he's still efforting more toward launch angle. He knows that he needs to lift the ball or whatever. What that does, though, it puts him into a rhythm. And for me, Hayes is more of a feel hitter than a lot of guys out there. Like, he's tried to drill into the nuance of it, and he's at his best honestly, when it's simple, when it's rhythmic, when he's, you know, you can see very clearly he's on time. And I think that's what they got back to in San Francisco. He took a day, worked with Andy Haynes, came back, and it was a more free, more easy swing than we've seen out of him in quite some time. His pitch selection's fine. He hits the ball hard. I know people get tired of hearing that, but you can like look under the hood and find a bunch of metrics to prop him up as a decent hitter. Now, he's not hitting well. He's not hitting for power. But what we've seen since that Giants series, especially over the weekend, like he's driving the ball. He's getting lost. All these nerdy hitting things that basically says, don't pound the ball into the ground every time. He's doing that. And I think he's getting to that, Joe, because of the timing mechanism in his swing.
Jason Mackey on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. So I've asked you this many times, but things change by the week, and a lot of times it's who's hot. Who's next from AAA? Who's coming up here to give this team maybe a jolt, whether it be a pitcher or a hitter? And when?
Yeah, and I don't have a sense that anything is close, Joe. You know, and I know that might be disappointing to some people, but listening to Ben Cherington talk yesterday, already what I know on background, they want to give Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis a chance to play together and work that out. Right now, if you look at their middle infield situation, Tucapita Marcano, Rodolfo Castro, G1 Bay, it's been a rotation and it's frankly been pretty good. So I don't know when you bring one of those guys up. Now, that being said, over his past five or so, Andy Rodriguez has been very good. If he catches fire over the next 2 weeks, he'll be past the Super 2 deadline, and they might think about it then, and then you figure out what you do. Maybe you carry three catchers or whatever. So if you made me answer, I'm not trying to duck the question, I think it's Andy. But I don't think it's imminent, and I think they want to let this play out a little bit longer.
So I get the vibe, sort of, from everything I read and hear, that if there's going to be a primary catcher with those two, Rodriguez and Davis, it's going to be Rodriguez, and that Davis would be the guy to get moved. How do you read that situation? How is that all going to play out, and when?
That's not the sense I get, Joe. I think they would probably rather move Andy than they would Henry, honestly, just because I think he adds more value to those other positions. And I think they're kicking the can here because they probably don't know at this point who truly is going to take over and become an everyday catcher. They've both had flaws. I mean, they're both really good in ways, too. I mean, the arms are incredible, especially Davis. He's got the edge there. Rodriguez is incredibly athletic, but they've struggled with things that's normal for young catchers, you know, blocking balls, calling games, pitch framing, that sort of deal. They're not finished products. So I think they want to sort of, I don't know, two dogs, one bone sort of situation in AAA and see who takes it over. And that's why I said I think it'll be a couple weeks. And I don't think you're going to make that determination in a couple weeks. But, you know, I just think there's a lot of this story left to be written on who ultimately takes over a catcher. But the people I've talked to, it's either, you know, we don't know, or it's probably easier to set Henry down there and then bounce Andy around, because I think he's more comfortable at other positions than Henry is in right field.
But who's the better defensive catcher? That, to me, that's the more important question.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't think they know. I don't think they should know. Like, there's just not enough information gained. We're talking about evaluating Henry Davis' defense. He hasn't played a game at AAA. I'd like to see more of that. You know, they're still very much in the developmental stages as far as their defense. And that doesn't mean they can't come up and contribute with the bat. I'm not saying that. But it's hard to make a determination on who's going to be the better defensive catcher when we're still in the middle of it.
I got asked this on my intergalactically read Post-Gazette mailbag. People from here to Uranus are just glued to this thing, Jason. And that was, if the trade deadline was this weekend, would you try to bring in a pitcher or another bat? And who are you trading? Would you care to answer that?
I will care to answer that. Here's where I fall on that stuff, Joe. And I think I'd probably go with the pitcher. I think in those sort of situations, especially given their pitching depth, they don't have a ton. I'd feel much better about that. At least with a bat, I can maybe hope that I get something from Andy, Henry, somebody the second half of the year, or they just figure it out. So I'm going to take the pitcher. Now, who they trade, I'd like to know a little bit more before the deadline. Like the first base situation, I might deal from that. If I can get G-Man Choi some playing time, I might be willing to trade him. If I've got a taker on Connor Joe, I might be willing to trade him. I would not, and this will probably rankle some people, I don't care, I would not move Austin Hedges. I think there's value there. I don't know if anybody would want him, but I want him around Henry and Endy when they come up. I think he has a lot to offer young catchers from a defensive standpoint. So, you know, I look at those guys. I look at Choi's health. Other than that, you know what, Joe? I mean, where I come down on their trade deadline stuff, if they did nothing, I'd be okay with it. What I don't want them to do is be like two games out of first place and start talking about 2024 and why they think these trades make sense. But don't do that to people. If you're close, at least stand pat.
All right, there's 55 days until the trade deadline. I did the math today. The Pirates will be in first place or within blank games of first place 55 days from now. Jason?
So you're asking me to stake my cushion or how close I think they're going to be. I will say they're within a half dozen games of first place by the trade deadline.
Man, that would be an interesting number because it would be a little more difficult to justify making a significant baseball deal where you give up assets if you're six games out. Well, maybe what's that number for you? And what do you think it is for the Pirates? I was trying to figure that out today, how I define that. Both with first place in the division and in terms of the wild card. Like, how close do you have to be willing to sacrifice maybe a prospect to get somebody in here?
I don't think they would have a problem sacrificing the prospect depending on the level of prospect, Joe. Like, and from where they come. And this is what I mean by that. If they get in a situation where they can add pitching for, like, Cal Mitchell, I think they do that deal. I don't know if that will present itself. I think what they're asking or what they need to answer is, what do we do with Rich Hill? What do we do with Carlos Santana? Like, you can flip those guys and get something for them. You can. It might not be great, but you can cash that in and get a prospect. And in typical Pirate seasons, that deal would be a no-brainer. Of course you're going to do that. But if you're within six games of first place, you probably don't do that deal. Anybody you pick up is going to look like that. Like, you're just going to keep that salary. And to me, that's what we need to learn. We need to have more information on G-Man Choi when he comes back because, I mean, if he comes back and is legitimate, maybe you can send Choi and his salary off, or maybe you keep Choi and send Santana off. I would prefer the first one. I don't want to get rid of Santana. But I'm just saying you can sort of get more, you can explore a little bit more if you got guys healthy.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Joe. Have an incredulous day.
You too. Thank you. What if we reach the point, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, where it really was just a normal, everyday part of the lexicon?
You would become even more world famous than you already are at that point.
It kind of is. Like, he said that very matter-of-factly, and it made me laugh, but it sounded normal. I've had people walk up to me at sporting events, youth sporting events, where my daughter's playing, and just say, hey, that game last night was incredulent, or this or that is incredulent. That it felt normal, and I really feel like we will have arrived when that can happen regularly. You?
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, the question is, if someone pronounces it wrong when they come up to you, do you correct
it? No, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try to establish that with Shelty today. Have you used it outside of the office yet?
Yeah, I've used it on a few broadcasts.
What? In what form? And where's the tape?
Oh, it's been a while. Honestly, I think it's when I was working when Folsy was out around Christmas time and you're using it. I think I used it on a couple of basketball broadcasts back then.
College, high school, what?
I believe one was a high school girls basketball game, if I recall.
That shot was incredulent, did you say? Something like that?
Something along those lines, yes. I think it was a big hit.
I'm touched to hear that. I am. And proud of you as well. That you're using it out in the world. You're brave enough to go out into the world and use that word. And I think Shelty has made a lot of people braver now.
Do you think Folsy uses it in public?
Yeah. I also think in private. I think that may become literally a household word for
teaching
Folsy.
His little baby. That'll be the first word.
That might be a tough one for the first word. But maybe the baby pronounces it better than Shelty did. But who am I to complain? I mean, the manager of the Pirates brought the, we really birthed the word in
as long
ways.
As they keep winning, I think he'll keep saying it.
Well, that's one of my first questions for him is, do you plan on saying it again? And next time, pronouncing it right. All right, Seth, don't call me Sean Myers or however that saying goes. I've got a treat for you next. Crowley, who started the boycott in crinkulant movement today, which only gives it more, juice. It's like the other day, you know, sometimes they want us now to do some advertising on our Twitter page. So for Omaha Steaks, I did a little video where I'm opening Omaha Steaks at my house. And then Ed Bouchette had to subtweet. Haven't heard from him in a while. And, of course, nothing good. He has to come in and say, I block people who advertise on Twitter. Something like that. To which I should have just responded, thank you, Ed, for delivering this message to your 80,000 however many followers, right? Why does Ed have to come in and do that? Sean, don't call me Seth Myers. Huh?
I don't know. He's a plum guy, too, much like myself. So maybe I'll run into him and bring that up.
Bring it up if you do. But all that, no publicity is bad publicity, whether it's Omaha Steaks or whether it's the word incrinculant. Just keep promoting it out there. Shelty at noon. Coming up next, speaking of Crowley, the reason I mentioned Crowley is everybody in the world has heard Narduzzi call into the station and rip Crowley, except for me, I think. So I'm going to play it next for myself, but if you haven't heard it, you'll get to hear it. And if you have, it sounds like the type of thing you'd want to hear over and over again. Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, I was listening through. I didn't hear the very end of it, but I heard about a minute of it.
We're going to play that for you next. We have a time, of course, now on the Backyard Brawl. So why don't we talk about that for a moment? I think we should, but not until we talk about Joe Patochnik's mustache. First ballot Hall of Famer in the Roofing and Siding Halls of Fame. You see a lot of guys in the Roofing Hall of Fame and a lot of guys in the Siding Hall of Fame. A lot of mustaches, too. Nobody, to my knowledge, has been a first ballot inductee in both until Joe came along. Then again, how many people have had a business thrive in this market for 42 years? Joe set out on his own all those years ago, just him and his mustache, together forming a partnership. And now 42 years later, it's a platinum preferred company. And you can't mention it in town and go unrecognized. Everybody knows who he is, who they are. I can speak to the work they do firsthand. They've been out to the house a couple different times. My friend A-Rod, Andrew Rodriguez, laid out the plan for my wife and I. Then they executed it just like a good sports team. $500 off any roofing or siding installation right now at JP Roofing and Siding. Give them a call, 412-829-7711. Again, that's 412-829-7711.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So on social media, this little back and forth apparently got a ton of hits on our website, which, by the way, is 937thefan.com, odyssey.com. Crowley, as you know, is a West Virginia guy, right? They don't call him the Fighting Crowleys for nothing. I would bet pretty good money he has burned a couch. You, at West Virginia?
I think not only at West Virginia, maybe within the last couple of weeks, probably.
He might be right about that. He might have felt like burning one after this. This was, I don't know who put Pat Narduzzi to this. I don't know how this all came about.
I'm guessing Doran had a hand in that.
Yeah, you're probably right. I never even thought of that. It's Crowley and Dickerson, and we have West Virginia and Pitt. I'm really behind the times here, aren't I? So probably was Doran. So I don't even know what we're going to listen to. I'm late to the party here, but everybody tells me this was amazing. What are we going to hear, Sean?
So, yeah, Crowley, I don't know when this was exactly, but Crowley was talking, and he did not know who was calling in. He was just notified that there was a caller that was going to give him a hard time about his WVU fandom.
Let's hear it.
Want to get into Kyle Dubas being hired and what Sidney Crosby's role was in that. And we'll do that in a minute, but I guess I've invited this upon myself. Get a text here. Can we get more clarification of where the I Love Pitt soundbite came from? Also, play it more. I was talking about the uniforms.
Yes.
I was talking about the script. I was talking about the color
school.
Scheme.
The football team.
I have no love for Pitt. My parents went there. My wife went there. But I have no love for Pitt. Now we got a caller, someone who wants to jag me about Pitt. Hello, caller. This is really against my better judgment. What's up?
Yeah, this is Pat from Pittsburgh wondering what we got this West Virginia guy doing on our Pittsburgh radio show. Like, we couldn't find someone better. I mean, his parents were smart enough to go to Pittsburgh, but this guy just couldn't get it done, huh?
Wait a minute.
This was Coach Deuce.
Is this just Coach Deuce?
Yes, it is. You know, I don't call into radio shows very often, but I'm driving in hearing this crap this morning. I heard it a couple days ago as well, and I'm going, what are we doing in Pittsburgh?
Wow. I want to hear more of that. I want to hear more of the back and forth, Seth, don't call me Sean Myers. Can we get that whole thing?
I'll have to investigate that.
Try to get more of that. This was a good little tease. That is spectacular. So it wouldn't appear that Doran actually did put him up to it. Do you believe that Narduzzi was just driving around and this happened?
I think Doran might be playing coy a little bit.
I want more information, and I want to hear more of that. Can you see to it? It's got to be in our files, right? We don't burn everything right away, do we?
So I think this is not the extended version. I think this might be sort of the clip that sparked all of this that they were talking about.
I love Pitt.
Apparently, Crowley said that, not speaking of the team, but I guess he said referring to the jersey, and it got this whole thing started. So,
wait, what? That was Crowley saying, I love Pitt?
I love Pitt.
He said sarcastically, right? Because he just admitted, even though key family members have attended the university, he's a West Virginia guy, right?
I think he said he loved their jersey or their color
scheme,
okay, or something.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's the all-time greatest, Pitt script, obviously. We're talking a very specific colors and logo. I think it's the greatest in the history of college football. That and UCLA and Michigan. Throw in Michigan. Those are my three stars. How about you? You must think Penn State, right?
It's very basic and very simple, but I think in a sense that's almost a good quality at this point with all the exotic, new, different designs and everything.
As long as I'm ranting, by the way, Pitt should play Penn State. There's a new topic in Pittsburgh sports, but I will beat that one over and over and over and over again, as I will the backyard brawl. I won't let either one die. I don't care if they have to make it happen in Harrisburg or wherever. People say, well, politicians have better things to do. Do they? Do they really? You watching them on a daily basis and the crap they come up with to try and change and do and the bills they put forth? I don't think they have better. Well, they definitely do have better things to do, but they're not doing better things. Surely they can take 5 minutes out of their day and say these two state universities. Do both of them get money from us?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, then make them play. Okay? Let's get somebody from both sides of the aisle to come together and put forth a bill that says Pitt shall play Penn State every single year in perpetuity. Why? Because we deem that to be so. Because people want it. And I've often maintained and will always maintain that more Penn State people, particularly in this market where you have tons of alumni, want this game to happen. More than you'd think want this game to happen. It's fun. It's fun for the students up there. It was fun for them to come to Pitt. It was fun for them to have Pitt come there and trade the insults and have all the enjoyment that people glean from having a football rivalry. It doesn't mean as much to them in the grand scheme of things, obviously, as it does to Pitt. I get it. That doesn't mean it means nothing to anybody up there. Means a hell of a lot more than it would be playing, for example, Marshall, Temple, or Buffalo in 2026, Nevada or Villanova, Syracuse, Delaware, and Temple. You can sign a two-game agreement with Syracuse out of the same conference, but you can't play Pitt? Get out of here with that. The games should happen every year, and politicians should see to it. At least we can say they've done something for us. They should see to it that the game happens every single freaking year. It should happen.
So you're not excited about Penn State WVU playing?
I do like that. Don't get me wrong.
And doesn't
I, and
seem
I like
to have
the,
as much
I like
juice.
The fact that West Virginia, speaking of the Fighting Crowleys, has the cojones to play both Pitt and Penn State in the same year. I do like that. I like that a lot. But that needed to happen. That needs to happen. And it would take 10 minutes to put that bill together. And you tell the people at Penn State, you're playing Pitt every year. Yeah, you get our money. So guess what? You're doing that. Sorry. You won't be able to play Bowling Green in 24. You're going to have to nix the deal with Syracuse. Why play? How is it okay to play Syracuse out of that same conference and not play Pitt? I know how Penn Staters think. My stepson went there, loves it. We'll be in Cape May, and he'll see somebody from Penn State. And what do they say? What do you people say when you see each other?
We are.
And then the other one says Penn State. People who don't even know each other. I find that charming. I love State College. I was just there. I love Oakland. I love Morgantown. But more people than you think, including him, he'll tell you. People want to play Pitt. It's not like they're saying, oh, we have to play Pitt every year. That's a huge game for us. No, but when you look at the alternatives, that's a fun week of trading insults with the other fan base, of the coaches trading insults, a packed stadium here. Make the trip to Pittsburgh if you're there. Sure looked to me like everybody was having a good time when they renewed that rivalry. How do you feel, Sean? You're a Penn State guy.
Yeah, I think the games were meaningful. I know that the whole thing is that Penn State is saying that they're going to sell out regardless of opponent, pretty much, whereas Pitt's benefiting from Penn State coming.
But isn't that taking advantage of your fan base? We know you'll show up for anyone. So we'll have Delaware and UMass this year. And I'm not saying, by the way, that they're the only team that schedules crappy opponents. Everybody does, including Pitt. But sort of, hey, we'll sell out anybody. So why should we play a team that you people will enjoy the lead up to the game against?
Yeah, so they play basically one legitimate non-conference opponent every year, and they wanted to get Auburn in there and Virginia Tech, which to most people doesn't have nearly as much meaning. I know they wanted to expand down south a little bit with Auburn, but yeah, that doesn't quite mean as much to people in this area, certainly. So I would agree with you. I think WVU is a good step to have them if you're not going to play Pitt, but ideally I think you can probably find some rotation between those two teams every single year.
I think you can. And what more to the point, I think you should be forced to by politicians. And I don't like politicians. Almost every one of them I don't like. They're not very useful. In this case, they could be useful to my purposes, which is Pitt playing Penn State, period, every year.
I wonder if the expanded playoffs might change the math a little bit, because the way it's been set up with four teams getting in, if you lose one non-conference, especially if it's against a team that's not, you know, a top 10 team,
yeah,
that might ruin your season. So it's a little scary for some of these coaches of programs that have those aspirations. We don't want to have a hiccup against an in-state rival that's going to cost us a chance at the playoffs. the focus really has been win your conference, do well in that. But now that 12 teams are going to get in, maybe you have a little bit more leeway for something like that.
Yes, I agree. All right. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Let's finish out this segment and get ready for Shelty. Can we do that? Why don't we do that? Because this is going to be big. Some would even say it's going to be, yes, increnculent. The fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Fan wants to visit your youth baseball, softball teams in action with the Pirates. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your team 12 and younger. And the fan may be making a stop to see a game or tournament brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands. Did I tell you what happened to me last night, Sean?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'll tell you later in the show. I know that was a horrible tease, but I had an incident involving my car and a softball.
I'm very concerned now.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But first, what I want to do is bring you a message from Gina Giampietro, or for Gina Giampietro. And here's the thing with Gina that I think is very enticing. You can't lose. How about that? You like that? It's true. You sit down with Gina. You choose a price and a deadline. Your home doesn't sell by the deadline. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. Brendan has been working with Gina, buying and selling homes in Carnegie since 2010. The properties have all sold at $300,000 or more, each one of them. Brendan says, and I quote, "Gina knows the market and has the ability to sell properties quickly, whether it's commercial or residential. I would highly recommend her to anyone looking for an agent. Definitely first-class service and knowledge." Yes, Brendan's a happy man. People are happy when they work with Gina. Again, Gina, price and deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gina has it bought and turned into a rental. You can't lose. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh, Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Call Gina at 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.